Is he up?
No, I'm not. I'm not up.
You're not up? Huh. All right.
No, I was up yesterday.
Well, and how was it for you?
I went back to bed.
Good. Neil O'Dowd, first of all, as the founder and publisher of Irish Voice newspaper, Irish American magazine, IrishCentral.com, and author of, you know, how many, 14, 15 books. Now.
No, not 14 or 15 books.
Well, some of them were duds, you'd have to admit.
You know, I'm not going to write about the one I wrote about sex in Ireland, which was completely blank.
Yeah. Now, thank you for that. Let me ask you, though, because it
Can
is
I
a
ask
big
you
honor.
First?
No, don't ask me anything.
Congratulations on the presidential award.
Thank you. That's
well
very
overdue
nice.
Overdue acknowledgement of all that you've done, Adrian. I was delighted to see that you're getting the highest honor that an Irish person abroad can get, which is a Presidential Distinguished Services Award. And I think it's a wonderful occasion because it's your own people who are finally paying attention and saying, look what this guy has done. And I think it's tougher coming from the Irish than anywhere else, which is why it's a great achievement.
Well, thank you. Thank you for that. And I'm very much looking forward, breaking bread with President Michael D. Higgins. And I, you know, again, want to acknowledge and thank, that doesn't come easy. You need a lot of references, and that's it. So, anyway. All right. Listen, your book, it's not a new book, but it's one of your books that actually took off the ground. Selected by Amazon for Black Friday, for a Black Friday promotion. And Neil, I was saying earlier that throughout October, Ireland celebrated Black History Month. And, it's the fourth country in the world to officially honor Black culture and heritage. You know, now you have your book and a book that obviously has, had great impact and information regarding the untold story of how the Irish helped Abraham Lincoln save the Union. That would have been, a topic not written about before, and if it was, it got a light touch. But can you tell us give us the guts of the story?
Well, the guts of the story, Adrian, is that at the time of the American Civil War in 1860, it was the same time as literally a million or so Irish people were fleeing the famine, or within 10 years of fleeing the famine, they started leaving in 1847. So when they came to America, a tremendous amount of them joined up with the Union Army and ended up fighting for Lincoln. And for some strange reason, history has never included the work that they did and the incredible amount of people who fought and died to save America and to defeat the move against to continue slavery. And it was very much their input. What the book points out is at key moments in the American Civil War, for instance, at the Battle of Gettysburg, the turning point came when the Confederate Army marched what's called Pickett's Charge, where 15,000 of them attacked the Union line. And as it so happened, the battalion that was waiting for them was the Pennsylvania 69th, all Irish born, and they gave their lives stopping what was really the most important pivotal moment of the Civil War, because if the Confederate Army had won at Gettysburg, they would have marched straight on to Washington, and that would have been the end of the Lincoln administration. But the other thing that was extraordinary when I did the research was just how close so many Irish people were to Lincoln. who complains about what he calls the Hibernian Cabal, which is a group of people around Lincoln who were all Irish. And like the guy who drove his coach, the guy on the night that he was killed who was his footman, the guy who was his bodyguard, there was all these Irish people, and the doorman at the White House who was from County Roscommon and had been there for 40 years and was the only guy that they would leave. They had a son who nowadays we'd say was autistic, the only guy who could seem to get on with him and able to take care of him was a guy called McManus, who was actually the doorman at the White House. So, I mean, it's just story after story, and one of the things that really struck me was because a lot of those people did not write down their history, because many, frankly, were illiterate coming from Ireland, we never heard their stories, and it's only recently that people have started to understand that the Union Army was probably consisted of 30 to 40,000 Irish-born soldiers as well as the regular army. And they made a huge contribution to the victory in the American Civil War, the war that changed America. And one of the men who drove them along was Archbishop Hughes, who was the first great Catholic Archbishop of New York, who came very strongly into the battle on the side of Lincoln and who told Irish worshippers that they should help and fight for Lincoln and against slavery, and his intervention was incredibly important. So it's just at the very top level, like at the top level, Archbishop Hughes, you had men like Thomas Francis Marr, who was a very close friend of President Lincoln. You had men like General Corcoran, who rounded up his own Irish battalion. So what I'm talking about really is just the historians have ignored the story, and yet it was a huge part of the Civil War, the fact that so many Irish fought against slavery.
You know, it is really interesting, because I think a lot of the Irish contribution, the Irish story, as you know, you pointed out, it kind of got lost in history. But who would have, you know, ever guessed that the Irish did play such a positive role, you know? And you know, there are rumors that Lincoln, before, you know, there are some quotes from Lincoln that doesn't show that he was particularly fond of the Irish, but I think, you know, he came around to recognizing, you know, that when it comes to, you know, changing the scene, the attitude, he was very happy indeed to, you know, he did a total turnaround and was very, you know, very friendly to the Irish. And through your book, we've learned actually that you know, he needed the support that he was, you know, that he was not getting. But it's great. It's a
yeah. Well, if you go back to the very beginning when he was bringing up his children in Springfield, Illinois, all the maids and all the nursemaids in the house were Irish born, and one of them was so beloved by Lincoln that he paid her extra money, because Lincoln's wife was a very difficult woman, as we all know. At times she seemed to have some kind of psychiatric disorder, and the only person who could handle them was this Irish nurse.
Yeah.
So Lincoln paid her extra money to stay around. But even if you take that a bit further and you look at Lincoln's rise, at every step the Irish were with him. It was a very Irish era in American history, because so many were coming off the boats and literally landing in America for the first time. And what the book points out more than anything is, here's a hidden story. It's an amazing part of Irish-American history, and it's something we should celebrate and think about. as one of the greatest contributions that the Irish made to this country.
By the way, the
other thing that Lincoln was well known for was his party piece was Robert Emmet's speech from the dock, which he had learned from Irish maids, and which he would recite in full when asked. And the other thing that actually was just recently discovered, funny enough, by an Irish historian at Quinnipiac University, was that Lincoln donated money to a charity helping people in the Irish famine. He donated $10, which would be the equivalent of $500 today. So it's very much a fact that he was involved and friendly and well-disposed to the Irish, which is not a story that has previously really been written.
You know, since we started this conversation, there have been, oh my God, look at the reaction here. There were 22 emails. That's very impressive. But they're all from, you know, Jeff Keery, who wants me, you know, to remind you, you know, and
I know, no, Lincoln wasn't a Republican.
Lincoln was a Republican. Okay, Cleary, get off.
Okay, Cleary, I'll hand you that one.
Yeah, all right.
Reluctantly. Nowadays, he'd certainly be a Democrat.
Whoa, that'll put. Okay, Cleary, go away. I want to ask you, though, because it is, you know, now that Kieran Madden, the Consul General of Ireland, has returned to head up the passports and revamp that division in Ireland, we have to acknowledge the tremendous job that Dr. Miriam Nyhan Gray of Glaxman Ireland House has has done in terms of of promoting the Black Irish interrelations. You know, of the Black, Brown, and Green Voices conference, which again is going to be re-aired. I will give the schedule to our listeners later. But the whole topic, and perhaps you can, help us in, pointing out that we grew up in Ireland. With taboo subjects like, the famine, let's not go there, And in the national schools in Ireland, Irish history brought us up to about 1915 and then it was dropped.
like we disappeared, yeah. I always loved the fact that in the history books it would say, and a million left after the famine.
Yeah,
and they never said where they went, what they did, who they became, and it was like they sailed off over the ocean and nobody ever heard from them again.
Yeah, and then as a tagline, and most of them died,
So, I think a lot of them went hiding in Mayo.
Yeah, well, okay, you leave those words with the... When we take home the Sam Maguire Cup at this coming year. Ah, come on. Now, leave Mayo out of this one, although. Mayo?
Okay, I'll reluctantly leave you out of this one. But I do know it's become a very hot area of scholarship, and with very good reason, because the Irish-African connection... They were living side by side in New York, and in fact, I was listening to an interview with Larry Kerwin.
Yes.
And his new play is precisely on this subject, which is a fascinating play about a period in history when Irish and Blacks were intermingling and getting married and making music and making babies together. And there were people on both sides who were very much into that. And then, unfortunately, the riots began, the draft riots, and that ended that movement. But it's a fascinating piece of hidden history, Adrian. It's like the whole thing about the broader issues of Lincoln and the Irish and how much they fought for him. I doubt if Lincoln could have won the Civil War without the influx of Irish soldiers from Ireland. So I think it's a great sort of thing for people to ponder, that what we never were taught in school, or what we never even knew existed, was actually one of the brightest days in the history of the Irish in America, when they stood with Lincoln. And yeah, there were people who didn't, obviously. There were Irish who joined the Confederate Army, but there were nothing similar in numbers to the Irish who joined in the Union Army under Lincoln.
Let me... I want to, you know, point out again that, you know, when Amazon, selects to, you know, to promote, you know, your book, The Untold Story of How the Irish Helped Abraham Lincoln Save the Union, that is, again, it opens up another door. And the fact that they're promoting, you know, your book for, you know, as we head for Black Friday, which for those who are listening to us outside of the outside of the United States, Black Friday is the day after Thanksgiving, and it is where tremendous emphasis on sales, and it's to kind of get the jump on the Christmas season.
I think it's actually the same in Ireland now, Adrian. I think they've invented it over there.
Yeah.
Reinvented it.
Yeah, it really is.
And when you think, they just don't do Thanksgiving, they do Black Friday.
Yeah, and they, you know, a lot of the, you know, promotion and advertising in Ireland is speaking of neglecting to mention history. They indicate that they came up with this, you know, Black Friday was...
their idea. Yeah.
St. Patrick...
Make it a holy day of obligation.
I know, St. Patrick mentioned it way back when.
But, he said, don't buy a snake on Good Friday.
Yeah. And if you do, step on it. It is... Neil, Irish America... And nobody has, you know, written more and shed light, you know, starting with Irish American Magazine and editor Trish Harty. The breakthrough in, you know, in bringing... Irish, the history of the Irish, the promotion of so many, you know, people of note, bringing the Irish-American story back. And we're looking forward, of course, to having John Leahy on the program a little bit, you know, to talk about and to bring up, you know, subjects that, again, you know, we're only getting used to, you know, being comfortable with even bringing up parts of Irish history if there's any sense of negativity at all, you know.
Yeah. Well, I think John is an outstanding Irish-American, and I think that his work on behalf of Quinnipiac and building the Great Hunger Museum up there was incredible. And the sad part of this for me, Adrian, is that two great institutions, the American Irish Historical Society and the Great Hunger Museum, basically are under threat now in a very serious way. And it's incredible to me in a city with so many Irish and so much history, and a country with so many Irish Americans, that, look, I'll put it bluntly, if this was a Jewish museum, it would not be closing down. If it was an African-American museum, it would not be closing down. And rightfully so, because the histories need to be recorded and the records set straight.
Mm.
I don't see any difference in the Irish story, because we need our stories recorded and set straight as well. And I think John did an incredible thing building that Great Hunger Museum.
Yeah.
But it's devastating to see what's happening. I mean, within a few years of building it and creating it, and I always remember the excitement around it, the fact that he would have been succeeded by somebody who looked on it purely financially, even in the middle of a pandemic, said it wasn't raising enough money. Well, I can tell you, I don't know any organization that was raising money during the pandemic. And the fact that she went ahead and closed down the museum is a travesty of justice, and I'm delighted to see the strong local reaction against it. And I'm delighted to see John Leahy, whose dream it was, come out and make the points very clearly that he has been making, that they never gave it a chance.
No. And again, I think that you know, President Julie Olien, kind of, we should have picked up on it, you know, because she was hardly in the door, and the first major announcement was, you know, that Quinnipiac wouldn't come up with $100 for the parade.
I mean, come on, this apparently. Dr. Olien is a grandchild or child of famine or of Holocaust.
Holocaust,
So you think she'd be particularly sensitive to that particular aspect of the museum. But, you know, you're right. She just seemed to go gunning for it right away. And I think it had something to do with the fact that, I don't know this, obviously, but she clearly was very jealous of the extraordinary work that John did in creating it. And, you know, these are massively important things for our kids and our grandkids, that we teach them their history and where they're from, and never more important than today when kids are looking around for leadership and a sense of themselves rather than just playing video games.
Yeah.
That we tell them where they came from.
Yeah, and also, you know, the popularity of the Irish Hunger Memorial in Battery Park City that has attracted more than 1 million visitors. It can't be that, and as indeed, obviously, the Holocaust Museum down in Battery Park City as well. It can't be that there's a lack of interest. Yeah, surely, you know, Quinnipiac University is, you know, is off the main road, and but to use the excuse that you know, that low attendance and all the rest of it, you know, there are some, I didn't say it, but you know, there are some who are saying it's a downright lie. But it is something, the rush in getting, you know, just closing it down without any consultation, you know, with those of us who have more than a passing interest in Irish history and the Irish famine, you know.
But Adrian, the thing is, if you look at Luxon House, and when it started, and where, how many years it took for it to form what a great institution it is today. These things do not go up and overnight happen. These take time. You have to cycle through different people with different interests who improve different aspects. I mean, the Quinnipiac Museum Memorial, for instance, went on the road to Ireland and got an incredible reception. It could have gone on a road trip across the United States showing its most valuable artifacts from here all the way out to California. I mean, I'm just saying that when you look at what NYU did and adapted into different things, and now their Black Irish series, and you know, the whole vitality, they are constantly changing, and it's like having a newspaper. Yesterday's news is no good. You've got to do something new the next day. And that's just the reality with a museum. It just doesn't sit there, like she was saying, and wait for people to come to it. In many cases, it goes to the people. And something like that could have been an invaluable aspect of Irish-American history. And I hope still can be, because I know some of the people like Brian Burns, who you knew, who contributed so much to that museum, and they would be absolutely aghast and very upset by what has been done.
Neil, good luck, and I agree with everything that you said, which for me, for me is generally a strain, but yes, I have to say, and again, Amazon, indeed featuring Neil's book, Lincoln and the Irish, The Untold Story of How the Irish Helped Abraham Lincoln Save the Union. Good luck with that. And
thank you. Well,
I was just wondering.
It is a pretty big deal for me, and I'm really thankful of the help and support you've given me over the years, Adrian. But really, the guy who needs congratulations now is the fact that you're getting this award from the Irish government, which means such a tremendous amount to anyone who left Ireland and made their lives outside Ireland but never forgot about Ireland. I think you're the epitome of that.
Well, I thank you, and cut it off, because, you know, it couldn't really go downhill from here. Okay, Neil O'Dowd, thank you. Good luck with the book, and, it's an honour. Indeed, not only from myself to receive the Presidential Distinguished Service Award.
But when is that award, Adrian?
December 2nd.
Oh, it's coming right up.
Yeah, that is fine. But also, I think it is, in a feather in your cap, and for most of us, that Amazon, that's big time. Should select the book,
it just shows, both events show that there's interest and power in Irish America. It still remains, and despite people like trying to shut down our museums and that, there's still an awful lot of very good people out there who are going to fight these fights.
My friend.
Thank you for the call.
All right.
Keep going, yeah.
Okay, God bless. Bye. Friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network USA. And